Clico Club Eskimos are on the air. With a dog sled full of beverages for your local grocer. And to start the show off tonight, here's that sensational hit, Back Home in Indiana.
Back home again, in Indiana, in the fields I used to roam. When I dream about the moonlight on the Wabash, then I long for my Indiana home.
Riff-raff. All right, hello, and welcome to episode 6 of This Conversation Rocks. I'm Diane.
And I'm Todd. Hey, tonight what we're gonna talk about is freedom from religion, suppressing sodomites, and why Alaska still sucks.
See, I was telling you, it's such a broad thing already. It's become so out of control just in the past couple of weeks that I'm overwhelmed by the amount of information that we have to process for tonight's podcast. So bear with me. I can't even get Religious Freedom Restoration Act out of my mouth in one sentence.
That's an oxymoron, because, you know, if any Christian can stand up and show me where they're being suppressed in this country, feel free to let us know. And go ahead and post that up on our Facebook site, This Conversation Rocks. Or you can go check us out on our webpage, thisconversationrocks.com. And you can send, as always, you can send hate mail care of Brian Williams.
He's probably wondering, what is this podcast thing? Or he's telling people, you know, I was in that podcast when.
That's awesome. So, before we move into that, just a couple of things.
Okay.
Everybody who's given us feedback, great. We're going to address a little bit more of that at the end. Please keep sending it to us. We did talk to Bob in Seattle from the last episode, and yeah, it was just the right amount of pissed off, so.
Oh, good. I was going to say you talked to Bob. I didn't talk to him, so he was pissed?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And he's looking forward to joining us on one of our podcasts in the future.
Oh, good. That'll be fun.
He's like, I can't believe you guys want me to do this because, like, I don't hold back. And I'm like, well, neither do we.
I was going to say, you think we do?
He does.
Oh, dear. This could get very interesting.
But, you know, so tonight we're not going to hold back so much.
Well, I just have to say also before we get into the, I think they call them RFRAs for short. That's what I was reading somewhere. So I was telling you earlier this week that I deserve a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
I had the fucking cookie, man.
Mm.
I did. I felt like I deserved it. So for the listeners who don't know, I finally finished Case Closed by Gerald Posner, which is about the Kennedy assassination. Because at some point, Todd and I are going to talk about that. And boy, was it dry. I mean, there was definitely some good stuff, and I kind of felt like I walked away with a little bit of a different perspective. But,
you know, that's the problem with facts, right? They are dry. Opinions are so much more fun.
Well, and I really did like what he had to say about us not wanting to believe that someone as grand as JFK could be taken down by someone like Oswald, just in and of and alone by himself. So I thought that was a very interesting point about our need to make things big and our need to make things conspiratorial.
Hey, and speaking of big and conspiratorial, tonight's topic.
All right, so Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So, you remember how you said you were getting pissed off when you prepped for episode 2 and some of the different things that were key in the war on women?
Yeah.
So the more I prepped for this, the more I got pissed off.
Because this is the war on civil rights, civil freedoms, right? Your ability to actually just believe what you want in this country.
It is.
And be who you want to be, you know? Because if it doesn't hurt anybody, then what the hell's the problem?
And for me, too, I have to say that especially the case in Indiana, because it was such a thinly veiled attempt to be discriminatory against people who are gay, lesbian, or trans. I mean, I think that's where it just really, really got me.
Did it stop there? Really? I mean, if you follow Islam, Judaism, Taoism, Hindu.
Right.
Anything other than our brand of specific Christianity, as approved by the state legislature in the great state of Indiana.
But here's the killer, okay? So I mean, of course, once again, I did a bunch of reading because I wanted to be really prepped for this, right?
Yeah.
So Mike Pence was surrounded by people who are LGBT, anti-LGBT activists when he signed this bill. And these are people that really pushed him to sign this legislation. And so, let's see, there's this guy named Micah Clark. He is the executive director of the American Family Association of Indiana. And he actually bragged that this bill was legalizing discrimination in Indiana. He's one of the people in the picture with Mike Pence when he's sitting down to sign the bill. I'm serious. Another guy in the picture with Mike Pence when he's sitting down to sign the bill. His name is Eric Miller. He's the executive director of Advance America. And he actually stated that the law will allow wedding vendors to refuse to serve LGBT people and will allow Christian businesses to refuse to allow trans people's access to bathrooms.
Man,
I mean,
that's
how small-minded these fuckers are.
Is that your thing of the day, guys? Who's using your bathroom?
Who's using your bathroom?
How big is your bathroom? Small business.
So,
because I got to be honest, I was laughing. I was at Starbucks over the weekend, right? Because I was traveling to and from the Palm Desert. And I stopped at Starbucks, right? And there's a men's room and a ladies' room,
uh-huh.
But they're each a single toilet, right? And I'm like, why is it even a thing?
Right. Who cares, right?
Restroom is vacant. Restroom is empty.
Right, because there's not a man's restroom and a woman's restroom on a plane.
No.
It's occupied. It's not occupied.
But oh my God, if you go to Indiana,
yeah, heaven forbid.
There's some kind of third state. It might be.
So you know, I mean, there definitely were forces. That sounds conspiratorial. That were clearly angling to make this LGBT discrimination. I agree with you. I mean, it could very easily be used to discriminate against people of any non-majority belief system, but it really bothered me because it was so clearly anti-LGBT.
Oh, sure.
You know, so I actually was, you know, you and I talked about it a little bit. I've got some friends in Indiana, and they were really unhappy about the backlash in the media and the backlash from generally from the left, but eventually from big business, which is largely Republican. And they were doing some talking on their various Facebook pages. And so I thought, okay, what is it that makes Indiana different from all of the other states that have these RFRAs? Because there are other states that do. And they had them in place long before all of us exploded about Indiana, right?
Yeah.
So, do you know what makes them different, or have you looked into it? Because I actually had to sit down and, like, really dig, and I finally found some good information.
Yeah, I mean, okay, basically, the federal law that this is all based off protects an individual's religious freedom from government intervention.
Signed into law by a Democrat, I might add. I disagree with it heartily, but signed into law by a Democrat.
Well, but here's the thing, right? That law has been used to basically reverse the firing of Native Americans in Oregon who were using peyote as part of their religious ceremonies and got fired from their jobs because of it. It was used to prevent or not prevent, but to allow a Native American kid in a school to have long hair where the dress code forbid boys from having long hair.
You and I must have looked at the same site, because I was actually looking earlier today. Okay, so where are some places where the Religious Freedom Restoration Act actually did some good? And those were some of the cases that I found, too.
Right, but, you know, so basically, though, the federal law is to prevent the tyranny of the majority thing again.
And
right?
specifically to prevent government from imposing religious beliefs on individual people. But the difference is, I have to give a hat tip to Political Gabfest, which is that Slate magazine podcast that I was talking about last week, because they actually kind of broke it down into Raffers for Dummies, which was really, really nice, because I kind of needed some help while I was thinking this through. So one of the things that makes Indiana different is that they kind of took the whole concept of the state forcing religious beliefs onto people out of it, and they made it applicable in private disputes as well as state versus individual.
Right.
So that's one of the things that made it more complicated. And the other thing is that after the Hobby Lobby decision, which basically gave big business religious rights, all of the Religious Freedom Restoration Acts have become more complicated. Because now we're treating all of these businesses as if they are individuals with religious beliefs.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it different. And I think part of it, too, is just timing. People finally noticed that individual states were trying to kind of slide these, again, thinly veiled attempts at discrimination through their legislatures.
Where do you want to go? I mean, because ultimately this is going to the Supreme Court, right? You know, these kind of laws will get challenged, and eventually they're going to wind their way up to the Supreme Court, and I'm curious what will happen now after the Hobby Lobby decision.
I think they're going to have to, but, you know, one of the hosts on Political Gabfest made a really good point. She said that basically, you know, as people are in individual states voting these laws or agreeing to allow their legislators to vote these laws into effect, what they assume and don't realize is that we have global protection for people in place. You know, that we have anti-discrimination laws that not only protect people of different religions, different races, different creeds, but also people of different sexual orientations.
Not exactly, though.
And we don't. You know, I was actually looking at the ACLU's website tonight, and 28 states in the U.S. still lack fundamental protection clauses for people of different sexual orientations.
Yes.
You know, her point was that we're letting these things kind of slip into law, assuming that protections are in place for large groups of people, and we're not. So her point is maybe we need to back up and make sure that we have anti-discrimination laws in place first before we vote any more of these religious freedom laws into place.
Yeah, but that the point being, of course, is that that's not what these guys are trying to do, right?
Right. So talking about
passing non-discrimination laws in these states for sexual orientation, it's not going to happen anytime soon, right? Because if it was, they wouldn't be doing this.
Well, you know, and we saw it. I mean, we saw that a couple of individual cities in Indiana immediately responded by passing their own non-discrimination clauses.
Yep.
You know, so they knew what the state was up to, and they acted to protect their individual citizens. But, yeah, I don't know. I really struggled with it. I know that there are purposes for these RFRAs, and I know that it's not all about gay, lesbian, bi, and trans people, but that's really what the Religious Liberty Bill in Indiana was about, at least from my perspective.
Oh, I agree. You know, but here's the other side of that, though, right? Hey, if you're Islam, you can refuse to serve Christians. If you're Jewish, you can refuse to serve Hindus. If you're Hindus, you can refuse to serve Taoists, right? And so on and so forth. It's like, you know, what are you guys thinking?
Well, and you know, so there's a couple of ways that I respond to that, right? Which is, I've seen this point made in a few places over the past couple of weeks. So if you substitute the word black for gay,
right?
If you substitute the word Irish for gay and say that you're refusing to serve somebody who's Irish or refusing to serve somebody who's black, that's not going to fly. I mean, people clearly understand that as discriminatory.
But I know what you're saying, but I'm telling you, right? You can say, well, I didn't serve him because, well, not because he's black, but because black people are Islam.
Right.
Right?
I know what you're saying.
I didn't serve that Irishman because, I mean, Irish are Catholics.
Right.
Fuck the Catholics. You know?
Well, so here's a place where these riffers make some interesting bedfellows, and I thought this was a really funny article. This was actually from the Daily Beast, and it's the article's title is Mike Pence's New Fan Club, / Wiccans.
I saw that.
You saw that? Did you read it?
Not too much.
Okay, so it's really funny. They actually interview this person who is a high priest of the Aquarian Tabernacle Church in Washington State. And he said, I think these bills are horrible, but if they're going to open up this can of worms, we're going to shove it right in their face. So basically what this high priest of this pagan temple was saying is that if you're going to open the door, then we're going to do everything that we want to do publicly, freely. We'll dance under the moon naked. We'll have polyamorous wedding or polyamorous relationships and consummate them in weddings. We'll, you know, not just use marijuana medicinally or ritually, we'll use other psychotropics ritually. I mean, he just was going on and on and on, and I thought, okay, you know, that's a good point. It makes for interesting bedfellows if you decide that you want to open up these religious freedom acts, you know.
Absolutely. My religion says I get to mainline heroin.
Right.
Who are you to say that I can't?
Exactly.
Right. And again, right? It's the larger point is that it is just being pushed by fear, you know, and some belief that America is still the Pollyannish, Peyton Plays, Leave It to Beaver thing that it was never. Right. You know,
I was reading an article today. Mike Huckabee said that, well, it's the fault of the militant gay left wing that all of these raffers are being put into place.
How? Huh? What?
Yeah, well, you know, if the militant gay agenda wasn't so vocal, you know, if they weren't out there pushing their agenda, we wouldn't have to put all of these religious freedom acts into place.
Since when does civil rights is a radical, since when is that a radical agenda?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, yes, I totally agree to your point a few minutes ago that, yeah, if you substituted black, you know, or Irish or Catholic or, you know, anything, like, people would freak out. And it is clearly timed, you know, to deal with the fact that, oh my God, we are redefining marriage to be something other than an institution in which two people are stuck with each other for the rest of their lives paying taxes. Dear God.
A man and a woman are stuck with each other paying taxes. Because that's what it was before, you know, recently. Yeah, and there actually was an article that I read that said that this was right on the heels of marriage equality in Indiana.
Yeah, of course.
So,
of course it is, right? And of course it will continue to be. But here's the thing I say. I believe this, right? The closer we get, the more the bullshit piles up. And so we're getting pretty close.
I think you're right. I mean, I really think that this is like the death rattle.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
It's going to be death rattle for Indiana because, I mean, did you see that? I mean, Angie's List still told them to go blow themselves.
Right.
You know?
Right. You know, that was the kind of cool thing. I actually was getting out my phone because I started keeping track just right after all of this blew up, of all of the things that started to happen. Let me just jump in here. Okay, here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay, so this is just a small list of some of the things that started to happen after this law was in Indiana was signed into law. So there was I think she's an opera singer, maybe a jazz singer. No, she's a Broadway star. Sorry for blowing at people. Audra McDonald, who's a Broadway star, came down on Indiana hard. George Takei obviously came out with the boycott Indiana hashtag and got people really riled up. Salesforce, you and I talked about that. And for people who don't know what Salesforce is, would you talk a little bit about what they are?
World's largest customer relation management system.
So they said that they were not going to expand in Indiana. And I actually saw an article saying that they're paying for their employees to relocate from Indiana if they're choosing to leave. They actually gave a guy $50,000 to leave Indiana.
Quick, I'm going to move to Indiana.
Ollie. What else? So, you know, the Final Four, they were talking about the basketball Final Four not being held in Indiana, looking at not holding big college athletic conferences there anymore. Let's see, you and I talked about Gen Con, which is for people who don't know, it's a big gaming con. They were talking about walking. Angie's List, which is headed by a Republican man.
Oh, yeah, but just so we're clear, not all Republicans are idiots.
Right. No, that's very, very true. And, I mean, there were a lot of people who jumped out really ahead of the wave and said, no, this is not okay.
Yeah.
On all sides of the fence.
Yeah, the Christian Church Disciple of Christ has moved their 2017 convention from Indianapolis.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
So just and the thing that was so striking to me is that it evolved so fast. It was like it was in the news one day and then it just exploded. And here we are, not even 2 weeks later, and the conversation is so different from what I thought it was going to be when I said, hey, we should probably talk about Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, so in the Disciples of Christ, that's like a $5.9 million hit, according to USA Today.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah. That's too bad. Yeah. Gen Con, which is a $50 million annual impact.
Wow.
Is threatened to leave after their contract ends in 2020. We'll see if they continue now that they've... But we should talk about what they did, right? This is the thing that just is ridiculous, right? Is that the so-called compromise or whatever... The only thing that would have worked, really, was to, like, just get rid of this altogether, but now they've,
right.
You know.
The fix actually says that you can't discriminate against someone because of their sexual orientation.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. You cannot discriminate against anyone, anywhere, at any time. So, I mean, you know, that's good, but really does beg the question, then, what exactly the Religious Freedom Act is going to do for them.
Right.
But, you know, hey... I mean, you know, how many people expect to see Mike Pence, you know, announcing for president in the next couple months?
Well, I don't think it's going to happen now. Oh. You know, you and I talked a little bit about it last week, and he was poised prior to this whole debacle to do exactly that, but it's not going to happen now. There's just no way.
Yeah.
Or, as you said, he's well poised with the base, but he won't get beyond the primaries. Well, so a couple more things. You know, going back to the episode of Political Gabfest, and it was really funny, their title was something like, so who are we allowed to discriminate against? And the gal who kind of broke it down had some really good points. You know, she said this isn't just about the little old lady who's baking a cake for a wedding. This is about bigger stuff like adoption agencies, rentals.
Oh, yeah.
People trying to buy homes. You know, this is about really big stuff. One of the places that they did make exemptions was in healthcare. You can't refuse to provide healthcare services. And I have to say, you know, there, I've seen a meme going around on Facebook with a nurse basically saying, you know, I have to provide care to people regardless of what their beliefs are. And it's true. You know, I have to take care of people regardless of what their beliefs are. And sometimes I have to hear some pretty noxious stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and if you don't want to do it, go do something else.
Right, exactly. So, I don't know. I don't know. It's just, we just can't, we gotta get to a place where it's beyond tolerance. You know, it's not just about tolerating people, and it's not just about tolerance of differences. It's about treating people like fucking human beings.
Oh, exactly, right?
You know, I mean, I'm just so tired of seeing this stuff splash across the screen again and again and again.
Yeah. Right, and I mean, all it is, it's just nonsense. It is just nonsense, because it is, despite what anybody wants to say, it is absolutely an attempt to continue to discriminate against a class of people that they don't like, not realizing that, you know, this works all ways, and we could now use this law to start discriminating against them.
Right.
Because that's the way discrimination works. You know? And it's not a matter of whether or not you think that gay marriage is acceptable or whatever. It doesn't matter what you think. All that matters is what the courts have said.
Right.
And the courts are saying it's okay.
Right. I mean, we've got a tidal wave of marriage equality.
Yeah.
You know, and I really expect by the time that the Supreme Court is done this summer that it will be legal in all 50 states.
Well, and here's one for you that I think they just really don't even begin to rationalize, but Bill Levin, founder of the First Church of Cannabis, argues that the Indiana FINRA...
RFRA.
RFRA. I don't know where...
It kind of sounds... It sounds like something Scooby-Doo would say.
RFRA. should protect his right to smoke dope.
Well, and exactly that,
Mr. Levin,
right?
I agree with you 100%, sir.
And it goes back to what that pagan was saying. You know, yeah. People might not like it, but it entitles him and all of his churchgoers for the Aquarian Tabernacle to dance naked under the full moon.
Yeah.
You know?
So Santorum.
Oh, and, yeah. I read something about him talking about it this week, too.
Absolutely. Santorum. And if you haven't Googled it, we'll wait.
Yeah. Pause. Go to Google. Santorum. Santorum.
Everybody needs to do that. Every single time we mention that guy's name. Everybody should Google Santorum.
You're looking for the Dan Savage definition?
Yeah. You know, and that'll just continue to push that way above any actual articles about the guy.
That's right.
We love it. So childish. It's awesome. Yeah, Santorum said that it was a great idea. Went on Rush Limbaugh's show was being quoted on Rush Limbaugh's show. I'm sorry, he didn't appear on it. He was on Face the Nation, I believe, when he made the statement that, what did he say? Anyway, Santorum said that, you know, that without this law, then a gay person who owned a print shop would be forced to accept business from the Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh, right, I saw that.
You know, with the...
Yes! And they would have to print the God Hates Fags placards.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? He might be right. I don't know. But I do know that all of this is nonsense, and it's all headed for litigation.
So, I just want to say a few more things about Say It For Me Again. before we kind of...
Get
wrap
off of
this
topic,
because we're both obviously just fried on it, man.
Foaming at the
mouth. So, let's see. As of today, 21 states and the federal government have RFRAs in place. This includes Arkansas, which did sign their... Asa Hutchinson did sign the reworded RFRA into place.
Yes, but it was... greatly diminished.
Right, it was significantly weakened after Indiana's experience. Georgia's bill died in the legislature. Let's see. Arkansas has
this
passed
one. This is a bill
one,
that in ordinary times would not be.
That is apparently pretty scary.
But
what else? There are refs pending in 12 states right now. Alabama, Florida, Hawaii, Kansas, Missouri, Michigan, Nevada, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. And
yeah, but you know, you got to imagine that the Hawaii ruff ruff. that's got to be a whole different take on it, right?
I know, that's going to be pretty interesting, right?
You know, the thing is, okay, guys, First Amendment. You know, freedom, religion. You can practice any religion you want. You can't use your religion to hurt people. There's a clear distinction. If you're hurting people with your religion, you're in the wrong.
And the government can't impose a religion on you.
That's right.
Period.
So we can have all the refs we want, but, you know, you're not in any danger. Okay, once again, take a deep breath as I explain to you, middle America, Red Belt, the red states.
Nobody. Do you think we have answers there?
If we do, they're all like, yeah, I agree, and I'm trying to get the fuck out. Yeah, but what I was going to say is, nobody is going to impose Sharia law on you. Nor is anybody going to make you attend a gay marriage ceremony. I just want you guys to know that.
Dude, if anything, I'm freaked out that I'm going to wake up and be in Margaret Atwood's book, The Handmaid's Tale. Which, for those of you who haven't read it, be prepared to be freaked out if you do. I just have to say that I'm scared that the Rick Santorums of the world are going to wake me up and I'm going to be in The Handmaid's Tale. I think that's much more likely than Sharia law or the dude with the cannabis church making all of us smoke pot. So, but I have to tell you, before we finish up with we're going to have to, like, get the Scooby-Doo theme for this section of the podcast tonight. So Indiana, I'm sorry, I'm stuck on Indiana. Louisiana is considering a new bill, and this is dated, this was posted today on thinkprogress.org, and this bill is actually called the Marriage and Conscience Act. And it specifically endorses discrimination. So it's not just saying this is religious freedom and you don't have to, but it's actually saying that it allows people to specifically discriminate. And it's intentionally picking on same-sex and marriage equality. Same-sex marriage and marriage equality. So, and Bobby Jindal, who is a potential candidate for 2016, is supporting this act. So just when we thought that Indiana couldn't find anything any scarier than Indiana, move over because Louisiana's on their way.
Louisiana. Well, you know, somebody's got to be number 50.
Oh, God. You did bring up a couple of cases where refs helped people, and I just wanted to bring up a couple more. So, because it is true, I mean, there are cases where the federal law has really helped people. So yeah. There was an Orthodox Jewish prisoner in Florida, and he was not getting kosher meals, and he argued that it violated the RFRA for Prisoners, which was an act that was passed in 2000,
yeah.
And he finally got kosher meals and withdrew his case once they started allowing him to practice, to have that religious practice. Let's see, there is a guy who's incarcerated in Arkansas who was trying to grow a beard. He's Muslim. Mm-hmm. And he actually won his case in the Supreme Court this year because of the RFRA, the federal law, and he was allowed to keep his half-inch beard. Mm-hmm. As a part of practice of religion. So, I mean, there definitely are places where people who are in religious minorities are being served by this law. A Santeria priest in Texas, mm-hmm, was actually allowed to perform animal sacrifice. Not that I'm supporting animal sacrifice, although there are days I feel like it when I'm surrounded by all of the critters in my house. But, anyway, you know, so there are definitely non-Christian people who are benefiting from these laws, but yeah, by and large, Indiana, yeah, not looking at supporting Santeria priests or Muslim inmates. So, okay, I think I'm done ranting. I just, you know, I really wanted to talk about this, but I feel like it's just kind of, it's kind of gotten a life of its own, and it's just out of control.
Just, you know, again, I, of course I could be wrong, but again, I really do think that all of this is just signal to noise representing the end of, you know, all this crap.
God, I hope you're right.
Yeah. People come up with reasons to hate other people. You know, all we're doing is forcing them to look for no reasons.
You know, that's the thing. We'll find somebody else to hate. We'll find another reason and we'll find somebody else to hate. Sometimes I just get depressed about the human condition.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Well, all right, so...
All right, that's happy.
Yeah, so that's the end of reference.
Look inside your tiny mind, then look a bit harder, 'cause we're so uninspired, so sick and tired of all the hatred you harbor. It's not okay to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil. You're just some racist who can't tie my laces. Your point of view is medieval. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you very, very much.
So are we going to move on to suppressing sodomites?
Hey, Act 2, Sodomite Suppression.
Act 2. I feel like we're taking a page from Ira Glass's book tonight.
Could do worse. Could do a lot worse, but Ira, Ira would listen to this and go, what is this shit?
I know, Ira would be like, I can't believe you just mentioned my name.
Yeah, please, edit that out. This American Life would like to do a shout out to This Conversation Rocks. Yeah, because that'll happen.
Oh my god, you're going to make me hurt. All right, so this is in your neck of the woods.
Okay, so yeah, on February 24th, 2015, Huntington Beach attorney Matthew McLaughlin filed a proposed ballot initiative titled the Sodomite Suppression Act with the California Attorney General's office. The measure sought to make any homosexual sex act a crime punishable by death, specifically death by bullets to the head, or any other convenient method.
Right, and he basically was going to allow anyone to be judge, jury, and executioner, right?
Yeah, I guess so. It also outlaws the distribution of sodomistic propaganda. That's a great word, sodomistic.
I don't know if that is a word. I think he made that up.
I think so, too. should be a word, though, right?
Right.
Yeah, for Santorum. Anyway, with penalties from violations ranging from imprisonment to a $1 million fine to permanent expulsion, from California, and to bar sodomites from public employment, public office, and public benefits. Actually, and we do have the text of the crime, blah, 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 blah. So here's the thing. Because where I actually spent my time today researching this is how the California ballot initiative process works. Right? And, yeah, if you pay, I don't know, the filing fee, that's all it takes to actually file an initiative. And then the Attorney General's office actually has to look it over, come up with a title for it, you know, and a brief statement about what it is. And then you start collecting the signatures. And if you get enough signatures, which in the case of California right now would be 365,000, which ain't going to happen.
Well, I don't know. I mean, California is a pretty big state. You could potentially find 365,000 really homophobic people. Potentially.
Yeah, but... And then, if you get past that bar.
Yeah.
Then it actually has to be voted on. And then, you know, so it has to get 50% plus one. And then if you somehow got past that bar, it would be headed straight for litigation in the Supreme Court, and it would be dumped. You know? honestly, the article I'm reading from Snopes, several of the articles I read, but the one I'm looking at right now from Snopes.com, said, you know, it's really, and they were quoting somebody, so they're quoting the San Diego Union-Trib. Measure has zero chance of actually making its way onto a ballot, being approved by voters, or withstanding constitutional scrutiny. Furthermore, they were saying it's unclear if McLaughlin will actually make any effort to collect the signatures. If he does, he will need to collect 365,000 signatures in 180 days. You know, he does not have the mechanism or the apparatus to do so. If he did garner sufficient signatures, it would go on the ballot. November 2016, California voters would overwhelmingly reject it again. This is the opinion of the San Diego Union Tribune, which isn't exactly known for its liberal bias. If through some incredible and shocking mistake voters approved it, it would be quickly challenged in court again. At that point, it would be quickly ruled unconstitutional. Alright, so this is interesting because this is a commentary from a guy on the law.com website. Mm-hmm. And this is interesting. Legally, the initiative is an appalling mess. Subdivision B creates a new defense to murder. Subdivision C creates a category of speech in a manner suspect under First Amendment and proposes what may seem excessive fines. Subdivision D seems to affect discrimination under the 14th Amendment and the First Amendment. Subdivision E disturbs the separation of powers as the legislature cannot ex post facto disqualify a judicial officer, and certainly not without appropriate due process. And subdivision F is void for vagueness, in addition to creating blanket defense for whatever violations of law are committed and executing all of the provisions of the initiative extrajudicially. I think there's something in there that says, you know, basically if a court overturns this initiative, they get thrown in jail and all this stuff, right? You know, I mean, it's just nuts.
So I also read that there are several attorneys who are calling for this guy to be disbarred.
Right, but that's, you know, mostly signal to noise as well. Being an asshole isn't reason for disbarment. If it was, most attorneys that I know would not be attorneys, right? And I mean that with due respect to the guys, some of these guys I know, because, you know, they need to be assholes to do the job they do, you know? So.
That's pretty funny.
Right, but I mean, you know, yeah, it's, he has the right as a citizen of California to do this, you know, put this forward.
And we would all say that's the great thing about a democracy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have, for $200, you can file something like that, you can collect signatures, and you can get it on the ballot.
Right, because this is no different than, you know, when the coin goes the other way, you know, and thinking like Larry Flint and stuff. You know, if the First Amendment protects Larry Flint, it also protects this guy.
Right.
You know.
Unfortunately, it's true.
Yeah. This is his
freedom of speech. Yeah, I don't like the way he's exercising his freedom of speech, but it is his freedom of speech.
So back in
the state of California is free to vote him down.
it's just not going to go anywhere, right? Because to get 365,000 signatures, you actually need a pretty serious apparatus to go out and collect the signatures.
And who's he going to find who's actually going to stand on a street corner and say, hey, sign support for this?
So, but this is not the first time. This is fun. This is not the first time that Mr. McLaughlin has been an asshole.
No way, really?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, somebody like this, right? They gotta have a history. So back
so
in 2000...
Before you go into his history, I'm kind of shocked, because actually, I read a thing today from a pro-family values group that was saying that basically he's just a tool of the left.
Oh,
he's a tool of the left.
I got it. We put him
out there so that we could say, look at this horrible person and look at how he's totally making all Christians look bad and they must be bad. Right?
Yeah, because you know what? Hey, please refer to episode 3 for more conspiracy theories. Just saying, 9/11 was an inside job, man.
Anyway, I'm sorry, but do go on with Mr. McLaughlin's history.
Oh my god, I just, you know, go fuck thyself. Anyway, Mr. McLaughlin, back in 2004, credited the Bible with helping him become an honor student and pushed for a state ballot measure to put the scripture in the hands of public school students as a literary text. He was gathering signatures for the King James Bible as textbook initiative, which would amend the Constitution to allow teachers to use the Bible in literature class. Even if you don't believe its teaching, you'll agree that it includes rich usage of the English language, he said. That's what makes it good literature.
Okay, so I have to say, I'm just reflecting back, we actually did look at the Bible as part of literature in my AP English class.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's not happening, right?
Yeah, no, and it actually, it was valuable.
But it's horrible literature.
But we did not look at it at all as a religious text. It was sheerly, this is the basis of so much of Western literature and Western civilization. This is why you need to understand this.
So basically, under the proposal, yeah, I agree with you. Sorry, let me state.
That's okay.
Under the proposal, classroom Bible reading would still be voluntary, and students could substitute another text, said McLaughlin. So what was the point, sir? Officials estimated that buying Bibles for the students statewide would cost about $200 million. Yep.
I'm just wondering how many copies of the Witch's Bible they'd be buying.
None, right?
Right.
Because this was specifically the King James Bible as textbook.
Right. Oh my goodness.
You know, here's the thing. I'm not. The Bible is a lot of things, right? But it is not great literature. Shakespeare is great literature, and you know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's important to, as I said, from a literary point of view, it's important to understand it as a foundation of Western civilization and much of our Western literature.
Yeah.
But
Dante's Inferno, Paradise Lost, from Milton.
Right. But,
Neil Gaiman's Sandman.
Yes, very true. Very true.
All highly literate, all referencing the Bible. You know, significant referencing of the Bible. And
The Dead.
I'm sorry?
The Walking Dead.
And The Walking Dead, yes. Is that really...
No, it's really true. Yeah, there are a lot of... not so heavily in the graphic novels, as I recall, but there are quite a few biblical references in the series.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. It is
apocalypse. It's actually really well done. I mean, it's of course, you know me, super fan girl, so what can I say? So, are we done with Mr. McLaughlin?
Yeah, I absolutely think that.
One of the reasons that we brought him up is that one of our listeners, James, wanted us to talk about him, and we kind of felt like it was more part of this show than it was anything else. So, James, this is for you.
I mean, clearly Mr. McLaughlin has some really deep-seated fears of his own penis, so all I'm saying.
Or anyone else's.
Yeah. All we're saying.
Look inside your tiny mind, then look a bit harder. 'Cause we're so uninspired, so sick and tired of all the hatred you harbor. So you say it's not okay to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil. You're just some racist who can't tie my laces. Your point of view is medieval.
Well, so Act 3 is just when you think that things are settled in the red state of Alaska, they're not. So, last year, we actually achieved marriage equality as a part of a circuit court ruling. Let's see. It was Hamby versus Walker, and basically, a number of couples who where couples who had been married in other states where same-sex marriage was legal came back and sued the state of Alaska to recognize their marriages. And they won, essentially legalizing same-sex marriage in the state of Alaska. And I'm proud to say that a good friend of mine was part of that group in that lawsuit. So Bill Walker, who is now our governor, and actually, did you follow our election at all?
No, I've kind of given up.
So this actually was a pretty interesting year. We ultimately did not field a Democratic candidate for election in the state of Alaska for governor this year. So initially, Byron Mallott, who is an Alaska native, who's been very active in Alaska politics for many, many years and who's a Democrat, was running with Hollis French, who's been in the Alaska legislature for many years. They were the Democratic ticket. Well, Bill Walker was running on an independent ticket. Can't for the life of me off the top of my head remember who his running mate was. But these four guys met and ultimately agreed that they would do a compromise ticket with Walker leading the ticket and Mallott as his lieutenant governor.
Yeah, I bet they filled out about that deal.
Well, you know, so a lot of us who were not real excited about having Bill Walker as our candidate, because he's basically a Republican in sheep's clothing, but really didn't feel like we had anybody else we could vote for, ended up sucking it up and voting for that ticket. And there were a number of places that I really struggled marking that ballot this year. But one of the places that I thought we were going to be okay is that he actually said in response to the Hamby versus Walker ruling that even though he personally does not agree with same-sex marriage, he did not feel like it would be a good use of state funds to try to overturn that ruling, that he would not support any kind of appeal of that ruling. Well, we found out this past week that actually an appeal of that ruling is going forward, and he's not dampening that. He's letting that go forward. So all of his Sturm und Drang about letting it go forward was bullshit, or about preventing it from going forward was bullshit. He's actually trying to deny marriage equality in the state of Alaska. He's just doing it passively instead of aggressively.
Sure, but...
So...
You can't honestly be surprised.
No, I know. I mean, we're among the reddest of red.
Disappointed,
you know?
I understand. But...
Yeah. I mean, I always tell people it's tough being a blue girl in a red state.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so that was my little finger shake at Alaska this week. I did post a couple of things on our Facebook page while we've been talking. I posted a link to an article about the fellow and the attorney in California. And then I did post a link to a petition on change.org where people are asking Bill Walker to withdraw Alaska's joinder from the amicus brief opposing equal marriage and allowing the appeal of Hamby versus Walker to go forward.
Well, that's encouraging.
So, yeah, and right now I think we've got almost 600 signatures, so that's not very many, but it's a start.
All right.
So, yeah, I don't know. What's the final act? I guess the final act in all of this is that, God damn it, when are we going to move beyond tolerance and to just seeing each other as equal human beings? You know, that's my thing.
Yeah.
I don't care who you sleep with. I don't care who you sleep with.
That's the thing that's always so surprising about the Republicans, because they're supposed to be, you know, small business or small government, get government out of your bedroom. But you know what?
Hey.
The government's been in my bedroom a lot more since they've been around.
And you know what it really is it's get government out of your bank book. Get government into your bedroom.
Yeah, which is weird, right?
Yeah, it's just, it is weird. It's none of their goddamn business what I'm doing in my bedroom. So, you got anything to wrap it up with?
You know, just that again, this really comes back around to voting, knowing who you're voting for, understanding that, you know, if they say they're going to do something like this in the primaries and then stop talking about it in the general election, they're going to come back and do it. Right? Don't think that they change their point of view, you know, because, you know, they go moderate, all moderate on you for the general election. Of course they do. They got to convince you that they're a moderate, otherwise they won't be able to get the other side to vote for them, because they need the other side to vote for them in the general election.
Or, in Alaska's case, if someone says they're against something, fucking pay attention, because they really are against it.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
I'm unaware of anybody who has truly voiced opposition to gay marriage who has retracted that opposition politically. I am aware of a lot of politicians who kind of just ducked and weaved and tried to avoid the question for years, you know, but who are now totally for it. Which
right.
Which is just, you know, hey, Dems, you guys have been really weak on this.
They have. I agree.
You know, public is finally kind of accepting it. Now we can get behind it. Would have been nice if you guys had actually been in front of it, leading the charge that, you know, this is a civil rights issue.
Yeah, you know, the whole, my position has evolved. Oh, fuck that.
Right. About the only thing I expect you to say your position has evolved on is legalizing marijuana.
Yeah, really.
But yeah, I mean, it all matters, and people should be paying attention. And it, I mean, and this, again, this will come out as, you know, just really bashing on the right, and I'm not. I'm bashing on the Republicans. Specifically, the 12 or 15 morons who are about to make up the majority of the people running on the Republican side for president. These people believe what they're saying.
You know, and at this point, I've got to be honest, and this is not a bash on any of the people who've given us feedback about, you know, really harping on the right, but I cannot think of a single person who is tentatively running or who has announced that he's running. Okay, let's face it, Ted Cruz is the only one who's announced that it has not come out against LGBT equality.
Right.
Jeb Bush came out in support of this law in Indiana.
Of course.
You read it. Rick Santorum did. Mike Huckabee did. I don't know about Chris Christie. I haven't found his position. I didn't look for his position.
The closer we get, the less likely I think it is that Christie will be able to run.
That he's actually going to announce. Yeah. But, you know, what I'm saying and what you're saying is that all of these guys so far are in support of legislation like this, and these are the people who are saying that they're running.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's...
And what do they all have in common? They're all old white dudes who should be dead. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm an old
Don't
white guy.
Don't forget Sarah Palin. Don't forget Sarah Palin, because I think we're going to see her again.
Yeah, you know, she's not going to run, right? She's just going to get another bus and zip all over the country going, will I or won't I?
I don't know. I'm not going to count her out on anything.
No,
she's,
right?
She's wily. You know?
Sure, but so was the coyote, and it never worked out for him either. You know,
well,
to quote Tony Stark, right? He's got an Acme Dynamite back, and I'm going to be there when it goes off, right?
Ugh. I think ultimately it's right. If these people are saying they believe it, they believe it.
Yeah, I mean,
don't look for the moderate position that they adopt later on to placate people. You're right. Go back and look at the original statements, because they're telling you the truth about themselves.
Yeah, because look for the guy like Mitt Romney who will try to avoid any of those questions at all costs. Right? As much as possible. Who will then give the least offensive answer that he can possibly give when forced to comment on it and stuff. He's the moderate who's trying to convince the right wing that he is conservative.
That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah, no, the people who you really... Actually, that's a very good point, because the people who are really diehards, you know what Santorum believes.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to lie to you about what he believes. Oh, so just off on some other things before we have our oh-by-the-way moment. Let's see. I started listening to a new podcast called Invisibilia. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. I have not had a chance to listen.
But so where were we?
Invisibilia.
So I'm listening to this new podcast called Invisibilia, and it's really cool. It actually is a radio show on NPR that they've released as a podcast. And it's just these two women kind of looking at different things that are, in their words, invisible, that influence us. Like, the first one was about thoughts and thought patterns, and the second one was about fear. And it's been really good. I've really enjoyed it. So
I will check that out.
It's good. There's only like 10 of them so far, and they are on a hiatus right now, and they're going to be podcasting again soon, or producing their radio show again soon. So I enjoyed that. I'm prepping for our Scientology episode. I'm reading Blown for Good right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not as good as Going Clear, but it's good. You know, and it's definitely an insider's point of view as opposed to more of a sociological look like Going Clear was. I'm telling you, man. So have you seen Going Clear yet?
I've got a lot going on.
So I posted that thing, and I think you saw it. Mike Rowe posted a little thing on his Facebook page about how good it was and about his personal interaction with someone who's actually blown from Scientology.
Yeah.
It was good. I really enjoyed that. I'll repost that to our Facebook page. Yeah, no, and I gotta tell you, I'm loving podcasting. It's a blast. So for our, like, three fans out there, thank you so much for listening to us, because this is really, really fun. No, really? No, I think Jeff and Kirk over at Biters have 8. I think we're, like, at 3 or 4.
Okay.
In fact, I think today on their end-of-season wrap-up, they actually said they had 9. So...
Nine. Conquering the world.
That's right. One fan at a time.
Yeah.
Well, so, do you have your oh, by the way moment?
Well, yeah, I mean... Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh, shit. I know.
The thing that's really...
Okay, so, but you gotta back up for the people who may or may not be...
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm sure that there's somebody out there under a rock who doesn't know what we're talking about.
Rolling Stone magazine published an article alleging that a girl was raped, gang raped at a frat house party.
At the University of Virginia?
I think it was Virginia. Boy, I hope it was Virginia, otherwise we're about to get sued.
No, so it's UVA, University of Virginia.
Virginia, yeah. So, obviously it turned out that it was not true, or, you know, unsubstantiated and stuff. In fact, actually, though, the report from the Columbia School of Journalism today, looking at it, really alleges some gross misconduct on the part of Rolling Stone's editorial board and group. And so, yeah, there'll be a lot of lawsuits to sort all this out. Probably there will be, in court, you know, an agreement that there was a reckless disregard for the truth on this. And the thing that really infuriates me, that Rolling Stone magazine screwed this up so badly. Because
it undermines the women who undergo
exactly.
these experiences. Yeah.
Exactly.
And the other thing, so the thing that really bothers me is that Rolling Stone has so many credible writers. I mean, I'm thinking of Matt Taibbi, who's a great writer, who's a great journalist. And it drives me nuts that somebody like Matt Taibbi is now associated with a piece of crap article like this. I mean, he didn't write it, his name's not on it, but he's now associated with a mag that published this. You know, and that's a disservice to him and some other good journalists out there. And huge, huge, huge disservice to women who are regularly raped at college.
Yeah.
I mean, God, what are the stats again? Isn't it something like 1 in 3?
Yeah.
I mean, I should know offhand because we talked about it fairly recently, but the stats are huge. So, yeah, that's disappointing. That's really disappointing. So.
What do you got?
What have I got? You know, so I actually was going to kind of go for some low-hanging fruit. I've been looking at this article for about the last week, and I'm just going to mention it. I'm not actually going to go for it. There were a couple that I was looking at. So one is that Pat Robertson said that that gays are going to force Christians to like anal sex. So I just thought, you know, on top of tonight's podcast, that that would be really appropriate. But I'm not going there.
Hey, Pat, and you're just doing it wrong, buddy.
And then I saw another one who was yet another legislator who totally misunderstood birth control and was trying to explain to the rest of the world how IUDs work, and he was wrong. And I almost went there, but then I found this, and I thought, no, I should go somewhere uplifting. So I'm going to go somewhere uplifting. Can you believe it?
Okay.
I'm actually going somewhere good. So this actually happened just like an hour south of us. A week ago, someone vandalized several cars that belonged to Sudanese immigrants living in Anchorage, Alaska. So this happened March 29th. And this is actually, it starts out super sad, but there's a good take home from this. So this guy and his roommates discovered that someone had written "Get out, go home, and leave Alaska" on their cars in spray paint and had damaged their cars. And these guys are actually refugees from the violence in Darfur.
Yeah.
So they came here in 2010 after fleeing the civil war in the Sudan. And super, super sad that they would experience that. Anyway, news of vandalism made its way through the community, and a group that calls themselves We Are Anchorage decided to organize an event celebrating diversity and welcoming them and showing that immigrants are welcome. So they did a big potluck on Saturday, and apparently it was really, really well attended. And then the Anchorage Universalist Unitarian Church donated enough money to repair this guy's car.
Oh, that's awesome.
So nice to end on some happiness.
See, I mean, you guys in Alaska, you're not crazy.
Well, we're not all crazy.
Right.
We're mostly crazy.
All right, but I'm gonna go ahead and ratchet up the crazy though. Senator Ted Cruz stopped by in Iowa to campaign for the presidency, and as usual, I'm quoting from Kirks and Myers, but as usual, spewed the kind of bigotry and anti-gay rhetoric we are used to hearing from the newbie from Texas. However, this time he went even further by telling his followers that he would strip the Supreme Court of their power over same-sex couple cases.
How does he propose to do that?
He wants to strip the entire federal judiciary of its power to hear cases brought by same-sex couples seeking the right to marry, according to the Dallas Morning News.
Wow.
This came as part of a speech during in Sioux City, Iowa, where the Tea Party senator also praised the original, more discrimination-friendly version of Indiana's new religious liberty law, and claimed that a cabal of liberals... God, I wish we were a cabal.
There's that word, cabal.
A cabal of liberals.
For a definition of cabal, refer back to episode 3, the conspiracy episode.
Well, of course, it's a conspiracy because we didn't put cabal in there. I don't think. We did talk about the Illuminati, though.
I mentioned the cabal.
Did you? Okay.
I did. So we were covered.
All right. Illuminati.
Riff raff.
Riff raff. Riff raff. All right. You claim that a cabal of liberals, I guess that's us.
Yeah.
And our three listeners.
And me. Yeah.
Bob in Seattle and the other three people listening to us.
Bob, James, Marnell, and Brooke.
God bless all of you. Yeah. But, sorry, cabal liberals and big business. That's not something you hear very often.
No. I'm not usually hanging out with the CEO of Angie's List.
Endorsed a radical gay marriage agenda, which says that any person of faith is subject to persecution if they dare disagree with marriage.
Oh my God. Okay, so while you're there,
because we're gonna wait a second. Let me see if I get this. You're subject to persecution. In other words, we're gonna make you like anal sex.
So I saw the funniest thing, and I totally wish I could find it because it is so hilarious. But it's like the gay agenda. Do laundry. Watch TV. go shopping.
Right. Yep. Okay, so, wow, yeah, I mean, this is not exactly new, though. Jurisdiction stripping is a controversial idea that has occasionally been proposed by social conservatives seeking to neuter court decisions that they disapprove of.
Wow.
In 1981, for example, lawmakers introduced a total of 22 bills seeking to remove the Supreme Court's power to hear cases involving prayer and school abortion, school busing, mail-only draft, and school state court ruling. In other words, just strip the Supreme Court of their power. Reacting to Senator Jesse Helms' proposal to eliminate the court's authority to hear school prayer cases, Senator Barry Goldwater claimed that the bill was akin to outlawing the Supreme Court. Yep.
Okay, I don't know about you, but I distinctly remember in the little bit of civics that I was required to take in high school, judiciary, administrative, or executive, and legislature, they all kind of balance each other out, right?
That's the whole point, right?
So the executive isn't supposed to be able to really strip powers away from the judiciary, right?
Right, and...
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was paying attention.
You can't, you know?
Wow. Ted Cruz. Oh, he scares me.
Yeah, okay, so I'm just going to kind of read some more quotes. Ted Cruz. God, this is great. Supreme Court ruling to legalize gay marriage nationwide would be fundamentally illegitimate. Okay.
Wow.
Kind of like your brain, sir. let's see what else. Religious liberty is not some fringe view. It is the basis of this country. Well, yes. You're right. Wait a second. Your name is Cruz. I don't think your people were on the boat.
That's right. I think it was Bill Maher who was like, huh, Canadian and Cuban.
Yeah. Where the fuck do you think you came from? And if you're going to say we were found, you know, okay. Because of their partisan desire to mandate gay marriage everywhere in this country, they also want to persecute anyone who has a good faith religious belief that marriage is a holy sacrament, the union of one man and one woman and ordained as a covenant by God. Okay, I just want to point out that all of that is really great, whatever, gobbledygook, means nothing. The only thing about marriage in this country that matters is whether or not it is recognized legally. You know? And you don't have to go to a church for it to be recognized legally. In fact, having the ceremony at the church with the minister, in fact, in no way makes it legal.
You know, and I mean, we're kind of getting hauled back into Act One, but since we're here.
Sure.
So the whole point of this for me, the whole point of marriage equality and people being able to marry the person that they want to be in a relationship with, we're going back to being able to make healthcare decisions for that person. We're going back to being able to visit that person in the hospital if they're sick. I mean, God, there's horrific stories of people who were in same-sex relationships before they were married being kept away from their partner's bedside when their partner was dying. Yep. Being kept away from their partner's funeral when their partner was buried. Yep. Because they didn't have that legally binding piece of paper.
Yep.
You're getting me revved up again, man. We're supposed to be wrapping this up, and you're getting me revved up again.
Well, I just think it's important that, you know, we know who we're talking about here. If the court tries to do this, it will be rampant judicial activism. Judicial activism.
Which is always the...
code for something we didn't like.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So, he was introduced by Representative Steve King, Iowa Republican and all-around
right.
Dipshit. We are looking for a leader who will be raised up to restore the soul of America. Okay. Because I didn't think we raised people up. I thought we just voted for them. What do I know? So King went on to say that Obama is actively engaged in undermining the principles that make America great.
Oh, my God.
Cruz, however, has conviction. He has gifts, and he has the convictions and the gifts.
He's got all the gifts.
Match up with his ambition and his faith. Cruz, of course, lauded Indiana for doing the right thing. He lamented the breakdown of a long-held bipartisan consensus to protect religious freedom, asserting that Democrats have shifted so far from the norm that the modern Democratic Party would have described JFK as Steve King. Sorry. The Republican representative. That makes no sense.
I'm completely lost.
I am too. But it was Cruz, right? So, you know. Cruz proposed a constitutional amendment, leaving the issue to state legislatures. But that's not how this works. He compared it to the fact that some states have set the minimum age at 16 to marry, others say 17 or 18. We have 50 states that adopt different standards. That doesn't have any, sir, that doesn't have anything to do with different standards on the marriage. It has to do with when the states consider children to not be children anymore.
I just find the whole thing to be completely baffling. That I what happened there, man?
I don't know.
What happened this morning?
I'm sorry, what happened this morning?
Yeah.
Ted Cruz woke up and prayed. Says so right here. I think the most important thing every one of us can do is pray. Lift up in prayer. Of course, he was talking about the concern for the Supreme Court's gay marriage decision likely coming into it. When it will be over. Hopefully. I mean, the thing is, it's never over, right? This is the sad, sad part, right? Roe v. Wade made abortion legal. We're still fighting that.
Right.
You know.
Now I'm not mad, I'm depressed.
Oh, okay. Well, don't be depressed. Don't be depressed.
I know.
Because,
it's the death rattle.
Yeah, well, let me see. Let's see. I'll come up with something. The abominable crime against nature known as buggery.
We're kind of stuck on buggery tonight.
They're stuck on buggery. Because you and I are like, whatever.
No. Bugger away!
Let's see. Come up with something.
Ah, you're making me laugh. It's all good. Okay, so I have our Neil Gaiman quote for the night, and I don't know where it's from, but I thought it was totally appropriate because, we probably pissed a few people off tonight. So, I'm referring to myself. Neil Gaiman said, "It's a fool's prerogative to utter the truths that no one else will speak."
Does that make us fools?
That makes us fools.
We hope so.
But that's okay. It's all good.
We hope that it makes us, right?